Well, thank you, Mark. And it really is fun for somebody like myself who spent quite a bit of time in the area of genetic evaluation to see a new wave of methodology come along and make what I believe is a real difference in where we're going to be headed here in the next few years. And obviously, congratulations on our part. I've given them before, go out to the Angus Association for jumping in and taking a stab at this on a large scale. And to many of the researchers who have, over the last couple of years, been trying to position the industry any way to take advantage of what's out there and the genomics companies for moving forward with MBBs and things like that. Those are exciting reports in my mind to have this popping up showing that the industry is engaging in what we feel is the correct direction and use for these kinds of tools. When you start thinking about traits for which we do have genetic evaluations, we still have some work to do in the novel traits, obviously, but certainly we're heading down the right direction in that kind of an approach. I really liked Dave's comment the other day when he said we really need to start emphasizing the positives. And we've had a lot of frustrations and a lot of starts and stops, obviously, with genomic technology over the years as we've tried to implement it in various ways. But there have been many positives, too, that have led to the evolution of genomics in beef leading up to the topics of today and what we're going to hear from the various associations as to what they're doing and what their challenges are to continue to do that. Some of these include methodologies for accurate discovery of associations, and you'll hear a little bit about that, I hope, this afternoon from Dorian Garrick in one of the other committee meetings. Continued development of the DNA tools, both those that are tools for us to apply and are tools for us to use actually in selection. I want to emphasize a little bit some very significant grants that have been awarded to the beef industry and talk a little bit about how we have leveraged those as an industry to help position us where we are. And then what I consider to be a very important component of all of this, the development of good resource populations across the industry for us to take a look at. In terms of looking at both translational research and implementation, I'll let you look at that for a few seconds. That represents over $30 million worth of money that has come into the beef industry over the last 5 to 10 years that has been put to use in terms of genomic development tools, integration with quantitative genetics. That is a tremendous resource that has been brought to the industry. The Whole Genome-Enabled Selection Program was one that Kurt Van Tassel, Jerry Taylor, and I received several years ago. It was a bovine one, both dairy and beef. Allison Van Enenam leveraged that into an integration grant that she ran out in California. We've been blessed to have successfully competed as an industry in a BRD grant, a very large CAP grant, one on feed efficiency. Jerry Taylor's talking about feed efficiency right now. I don't recommend you go see that. Stay here with us. Matt will also give you some ideas on that grant at a talk later on in the afternoon around 4:30 if you want to learn more about that. We have two in reproduction, one that Milt Thomas got a while ago, and the current one that's gone to Missouri. Dorian Garrick led a team that was successful in developing a bioinformatics grant that works on methodology and is being currently used very well by many researchers to continue to develop DNA and molecular breeding value tools. Meat Animal Research Center, we're a part of a large grant that was awarded by Genome Canada or Alberta, I forget exactly which one awarded it, but it's a grant that's doing a lot of genotyping and a lot of sequencing, and we will be sharing information across that. And of course, my bias for many years was the NVCEC program, for which the industry helped us get a special grant that carried us on for many years to help do some early positioning. The critical thing here is that this has been an infusion of a large amount of money. And a lot of that money has been put into genotyping, and we are now leveraging some of that information, both from the science of it, as well as the genotypes themselves, I believe, to position the industry to take good advantage of what has come out of those projects. The DNA tools, as examples, obviously the 50K was a milestone in this whole process and is being leveraged very heavily today. Beltsville, Missouri, Alberta, and the Animal Research Center, that consortium went down that line to provide the information for that tool. The industry picked it up, provided the platforms for it, and it's been used very well. The high-density panel followed that as well. A lot of evolution has taken place in the commercial DNA companies in terms of developing NVBs. They've marched on well sometimes in antagonistic relationships with those of us who did validation, but they marched on and continued to improve and provide quite an array of tools to us. We heard, I believe, at lunch today about customized panels that we can now create, which are good. Hearing a lot about genotyping by sequencing. A lot of activities going on with DNA tools that will provide us and have provided us the opportunities we see today. I'm going to mention a little bit about resource populations because they've been very useful to us. The grant dollars have provided for those. But to me, the real value of the resource populations in terms of a new technology like this is that it's a collaboration. It's a collaboration of breed associations. It's a collaboration of producers. In many cases, we collaborated with DNA companies. We formed platforms for which there was quite a bit of interaction among the scientists and the groups out there. If you look up in that picture, you're going to see many of the speakers today. Sally, you didn't come to this. You sent Bill, I guess. This was the project which created the repository of DNA for 2,000 bulls. Now today, the cost of doing that DNA analysis of that with the 50K would be not near the $450,000 or so that was invested at that time. But that was only part of the cost. People gathering the DNA samples, archiving them, and working through that entire process of building repositories of these for the various breeds was an effort that is now being leveraged as those genotypes have been passed on to the industry. I found it interesting when Mark showed me a slide that he presented in 2001 at a workshop we had in Ithaca, New York, which started talking about the integration of genotype information into genetic evaluation. So we've been thinking about this for quite some time. And those of you who've bred Simmental cattle over the years might remember that my good friend and colleague Dick Quass used to produce genomic enhanced EPDs for tenderness in beef cattle, looking at the calpain markers, a single marker when he first started, and a handful of phenotypes that Simmental collected. So to see this evolve from those beginnings to me is very satisfying. Those are the number of animals done during the 2,000 bull project. So it does represent a very nice resource that was passed on to the industry, and we're pleased to see that being leveraged. Weight Train Project was a demonstration project that started. It was one where we developed with breed associations and with producers in those associations a program to collect DNA samples. We created panels. We tested their animals. We showed them the difficulties associated with getting good predictions through those technologies. It allowed us to start to develop relationships with those people who would be able then to communicate on our behalf as we went forward with the demonstration. The beauty of this project is now part of the feed efficiency program. Again, that was a $5 million grant that was achieved. The weight trait project became the demonstration project in that program and has been used by scientists to look at various applications of genetic evaluation and integration of DNA technology into genetic evaluation. Rex Ranch Project, this is a large commercial ranch that has participated with us for many years. We have a DNA sample on virtually every parent in that population now that stands out there because we've been collecting DNA on all replacements for the last 5 or 6 years. A tremendous resource to see if what occurs in the seed stock industry can be used in terms of the discovery of MVDs into the commercial industry in terms of predictors. And Steve Catchman has used this population several times to look at validations and to also look at ways of using DNA information along with phenotypic and pedigree information. Allison's project has led to a really nice resource of about 5,000 animals that have carcass data and live animal performance information. She took DNA on either side of slaughter, so she's related the carcasses back to the phenotypes of the animals when they were alive. So this is a very, very pristine data set in terms of being able to coordinate that. Allison looked at comparisons of DNA integration into genetic evaluations, comparing that with predictors and genomically enhanced DPDs to use it as validation and as also comparing methodologies. I think what we're going to hear about today represents one of the most significant advances in genetic evaluations since I retired from that field. That was a joke. I haven't retired. I mentioned that one time about 6 years ago and I started getting letters of congratulations on your retirement. So not retired. But it is a tremendously significant achievement, and I do applaud those groups that have gotten there, have faced some of the challenges, and I hear there are many more groups, breed associations, who are moving in this direction. I think that's tremendous. One of the things that is going to really help us in terms of now moving forward is the fact that this will add value to humans. People knowing that will be leveraged into genetic evaluation, we'll be doing more genotyping, and we're going to see a lot of benefits of that. Dorian Garrick mentioned this morning some of the things they can do right now with what he called genotyping first or something along those lines in terms of looking for missing haplotypes and other activities like that, which will add value to the information that's encouraged now to be collected because of the GEEPDs. And what I really like about it is, in this approach, it keeps a very healthy focus back on collecting phenotypes, because phenotypes are still going to be an important component of genetic evaluation as we go forward. It's going to be an important component to integrate with this new technology as we go forward. And it is the integration and not the competition of these technologies that I think is going to make us a very, very successful industry in terms of selection and moving forward. So with that, I really look forward to the presentations that we're about to hear, the successes, frustrations, and challenges all associated with making a quantum leap in genetic evaluation.